Anglo-Saxon literature and oral art. The language used in this period is now called Old English. This was a mixture of the languages spoken by the three Germanic tribes that invaded Britain in the 5th century, the Jutes, the Angles, and the Saxons. This language was very different from modern English. Like much of the world's earliest literature, the literature of the Anglo-Saxons was first communicated orally. This meant that in its passage from generation to generation, a poem or tale could change considerably, undergoing a number of variations, additions, omissions, and embellishments, before finally being put down in written form. What has come down to us are copies written in monasteries by the scholar monks. Poetry, in its earliest manifestations, was simply a way of preserving the history and culture of the tribe for the benefit of future generations. The poet was thus a highly valued member of the community, being in effect the keeper of the tribe's identity. Yet, at the same time, it is pointless to consider the poet himself as an author in the modern sense of the word. His work did not refer to himself. It was simply the channel by which the tradition of these people's culture was transmitted. The Scop's Tale. In Anglo-Saxon culture, the poet or scop had a special role. Part historian, part priest, he knew all the stories and legends of the clan, or sin, stories passed down to him by an illustrious predecessor. He was also the keeper of a rich poetic vocabulary of descriptive phrases and formulae, known as the word hoard or treasure of words, which he combined in different ways to compose a lay, a publicly improvised poetic composition, which he would accompany on a stringed instrument. Unlike the majority of modern poets, the scop had to think quickly, as he was expected to be able to keep the performance going without interruption or hesitation. Cases have been reported of poets losing their lives for stopping in the middle of a recital. Not only this, but he also had to improvise in a way which maintained the poem's metrical rules, though at the same time these rules provided a valuable memory aid. He had to have a stock of phrases ready at hand to insert as and when required. Although he knew the outline of the story by heart, the scop was also expected to recreate it by embellishing certain events and abbreviating others. He might borrow themes from other lays or make flattering references to the ancestors of the lord for whom he was performing. In this way, every retelling of a particular story was a unique and original poem in its own right, and no two performances were ever the same. In terms of the improvisational nature of his art, the scop can be compared with a modern-day rapper, who is also expected to compose his or her verses or rhymes spontaneously, while at the same time keep within strict metrical rules. Indeed, gangs or posses to which rappers belong, in some ways recall the clans of early civilizations. The difference is that while the poets of old sang of the achievements of the great leaders and heroes of their clan, many modern rappers tend to boast only of their own accomplishments.